But I just want to say happy Mother's Day to you. I hope you enjoy the day with your family and your friends and so forth. And I want you to know this church values you as mothers. We value you as mothers. And I really, that's just not cheap Mother's Day talk. It's a reality. Where would the church be without godly mothers? I tell you one thing, be in trouble. That's what, be in trouble. There are several visitors here today. We're glad that you're here. Lady sitting by Sister Coates, I'm not sure who you are, but we're glad you're here. Huh?
My daughter, Alice.
Well, Alice, I'm so sorry.
Amen.
You knew that, didn't you, Alice? But Alice, we're glad you're here, and I mean that. Folks from Wisconsin, I got it finally right, with those babies, it's answers to prayer. We're glad you're here. I don't know, there's just folks all around. But there's some folks from Canada here. Where are you at? Right back there. And now, tell us a little bit how you wound up here. Would you care to do that, sir? Just a real quick, say, how'd you get here? Tell me that again now, you what? Don't pay no attention. Oh, you're at what school in Lamar?
Heartland School.
Really? Allow be. Well, we're glad you came. I tell you, we're glad you're here. I'm going to Canada here in about a week and a half to preach at Lacrete in Alberta. Do you know?
Yeah, we're about 12 hours away from that.
Oh, you are? That's not far when you're in Canada, is it? Really? But it's way up north of Edmonton. They say it's about as far north as you can go and still grow anything is what they've told me. But we're headed up there to Canada here in just a week or two. But it's good to have you and all the visitors today. I don't know just where everybody's from and whatever. But you know something else. And you folks right here from Summersville, we're glad you're here this morning. And I want to tell you something. I'm really glad that all you regulars are here. Amen. I'm thankful for that. We better get in the book. But I think it'd be good if we just sung one time. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Let's sing it this morning. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. Boy, isn't that a wonderful old hymn of the faith? At the cross, at the cross. Also, we want to say a special welcome to the folks that are listening online. And as that grows and increases, we appreciate you folks listening online. Pray that you'll pray for us, that we can be a blessing to you. If you don't have a church where you could attend that preaches the Bible, and there's getting to be a lot of places like that, sadly to say, in this nation. Pray for me this morning for my throat. I've been having a little bit of an infection there, but I think we'll be all right. Exodus chapter 12. Get my glasses on here. Is what I want to preach out of this one. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, I want you to know that that is also, again, we'll get a little bit. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. This command of one of the Ten Commandments is repeated many times in Scripture, or at least to different times in Scripture. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1, the Bible said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The special phrase there in the Lord means that if your daddy or mama asks you to do something illegal, unbiblical, wrong, no. As long as it's in the Lord, and don't try to fish that out and dice and cut that up, you know whether something's clearly wrong or something, but you obey them in the Lord, for this is right. Then it says in verse 2, it's a repeat of the command back in Exodus, honor thy father and thy mother. And then notice what it says here. I really want you to get a hold of this, which is the first commandment with promise. That command, given in Exodus chapter 12 and in Deuteronomy chapter 6, is the first commandment, and there's a promise attached to those who will obey this command to honor their father and their mother. And verse 3 continues and says, that it may be well with thee. God says something here, that if you will honor your father and your mother, that it'll go well with you. Doesn't mean you won't have normal trials, temptations. You may have tragedies. But in the midst of all of life's things that happens, rains on the just and the unjust, sun shines on the just and the unjust. But in the midst of all that, God says it will go well with you. Now, then he says, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. There's not another commandment in the Bible that gives you that promise. It'll go well with you and you'll live long upon the earth if you do this thing. Honor thy father and thy mother. This is Mother's Day, and I want to preach on this. In a way of getting started, I want to give you a story, a true story. There was a young boy, 11-year-old boy. He came home one snowy afternoon in northern Illinois, and as he started up the steps of the porch to his house, snow was falling. There was about 2 inches of snow had fallen. His mother was at another place in town, sewing for some people. And he walked up on the porch. He saw his father laying on the porch. And he thought for a second his dad was dead. But then as he got a hold of him, he realized he was not, but he was drunk and passed out, which was not something really unusual, but it was bad this day because it was extremely cold. And the snow had already built up an inch or better on his body, on his clothing. And this 11-year-old boy got his dad's under his armpits, got a hold of him, and began to drag his dad toward that door of the house, got the screen door open, got the other door open, and managed to hold it with his foot, and drugged and tugged and pulled, 11-year-old boy, pulling his drunk, passed-out daddy inside the living room. Then he put blankets on, knocked the snow off of him, and put blankets on top of him until his mother got home and could take care of his dad. That boy did not have a daddy that was a really good influence on him. The boy's mother, though, had a different influence on this boy, on this young man's life. This boy's mother took him to church every Sunday. She read the Bible to him every day nearly. She prayed with him nearly every day. But the one thing that she did from taking the reading and the going to church and the praying and all that that she took as a reality out of the Bible was this. She taught her son this one thing because she knew it could destroy him. She always taught him to honor his father and his mother. She said, no matter what he does or doesn't do, no matter what I do or don't do, God's word teaches us, and I'm teaching you Christian principles, God commands you to honor him. And I want to keep you from destroying yourself by dishonoring your father because he's a drunk. Now, I'm going to preach something today that's going to make a difference. And there's going to be people in this listening to me and in this, whether you're in here or listening online or in the future, there's going to be two kinds of people that's going to hear this message. There's going to be those that hear it and take it to heart. And there's going to be those who just kind of shove it off the side as another message. But the decision you make with this message is not because I'm preaching. It's because it's God's word. And I'm going to tell you something. I was planning all week long on preaching something different up until yesterday morning. And yesterday morning I woke up and I'm laying there and I'm kind of talking to God a little bit, you know. You wake up and it's like, and all of a sudden God started saying, you're not preaching what you think you're preaching. Get up, go to your study. I'm going to show you what I want you to preach. And God gave me this message and I'm thrilled with it. I know I've got a message from God. So what you do with it is up to you, but I pray that you'll take it to heart. This boy's mother taught him one of the greatest principles that any person can ever learn. And that is that God commands, not says it's his opinion, not says it's a good idea, not a suggestion, but God commands all of us. I'm 65 years old. God gives me a command from his book to honor my father, though my father is not living on this earth. This book tells me and commands me to honor my mother, 93 years old, 91 years old down at the house. God says, Reggie, you honor them. And if you want it to go well with you, Reggie, and you want to live long upon this earth, you do this. And if you don't, there's consequences to that. This mother not only taught this young 11-year-old boy basic biblical truths about Christ-like character in his life, but she also embedded in him a deep love and appreciation for America and the founding fathers of America, the founding documents of America. And she taught this young boy one of the most important and powerful truths of time and eternity, that irregardless of who your parents are and what they've done or what they're like or whether you like what they're like or not, to honor them irregardless. And I'll say a little bit more about this young boy later. In Exodus chapter 20 that we read a while ago, it's recorded in 10 brief statements. As I said, commands of God Almighty. They're not suggestions. They're not good ideas. They're not opinions. These commandments are from God Almighty, the eternal self-existing God that created and sustains this universe. This God that is all-powerful, all-present, and all-knowing. This thrice holy God who loves you and who desires to bless you and not to curse you. Can I tell you this morning that God desires to bless you, not to curse you? But because he is a thrice holy God, he's God Almighty, he's in command, he's in control, he calls the shots, and you don't get to. And I don't get to. But he's holy, and he's good, and he's merciful, and he's gracious, and he's long-suffering. But he's also a God of wrath and judgment. And because he's holy, he brings sin into judgment. And he gave these commands. Now, these commands do not save anybody. But they are a principle of godly living, okay, and of pleasing the Lord and being blessed upon this earth. Now, I'm telling you something. I doubt if there's a parent in this building, but what if you said honestly today that you would say, I want my children to have a blessed life. I don't think there's a parent saying, I just hope my kids have a rough go of it. I just hope everything goes south and sorry for them. I hope they have. No, you're not like that. I don't think there's a parent in this building like that. If we're like that, how much more is our Heavenly Father want to bless us? Wants us to have a life that not necessarily is without sorrow or we live in a sin-cursed world, but a blessed life that we can look back and say, you know what? It was good. It was worthwhile living. And it was with God, and it was worthwhile, and it had a purpose in it, and it was a blessing. God wants that for you. And I want you to know, he not only wants to bless you, he wants to save you. He does not want to destroy you. These Ten Commandments are the basis of any and all successful, prosperous, blessed individual, blessed life, blessed nation, blessed family. And they're laid upon the rock of Christ and his love for you and I. God doesn't give you these commandments because he wants to make life mean for you. He gives us these commandments because he loves us and he knows they will produce a blessing in our lives. Of these Ten Commandments, now listen to me, of these Ten Commandments, only one has a specific promise. The fifth commandment. Isn't that interesting? Five is a number of grace. And it's the fifth commandment where God gives a promise attached to that commandment. God's grace is the most important and valuable thing that you have. Of all the wealth you could have, the possessions you could have, the achievements you could achieve, the talents you may possess, the abilities or accomplishments that you could ever accomplish. Having God's grace in your life is more important than all of that. Because without God's grace, you have nothing. And so God is sending you a message here. I want to give you my grace. But in order to get that grace, you're going to have to humble yourself and honor your father and your mother. You want to be blessed? You want things to go well with you? You want to have a good life? Honor your father and your mother. You know, this needs to get back into American vocabulary. I got to thinking, when's the last time I preached on honor your father and your mother? And of course, it's Mother's Day. Way too long. Almighty God says that a person who honors their father and their mother, their days will be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, he repeats it where he says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee. We read a while ago in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, that it may be well with thee and that thou mightest live long upon the earth. Many years ago, I was in Israel, and we had taken a trip there, and there's about 22 of us on that trip, and we come to the time when we were going to go into the country of Jordan. Now, if you know, there's the Mediterranean Sea, and then here's Israel, and then there's the Jordan River, and then there's the country of Jordan, okay? So we take our bus, and the bus driver and the guide, and we go down to the Allenby Bridge, and there at the Allenby Bridge, the Jordanian tour guide people met us. And so there's the Jordanian bus, the bus driver and the bus guide. And so we're in a totally different country, totally different. You know, we're moved out of Israel into Jordan. And it is an Islamic country, primarily. And I assumed that this guide and the bus driver and everybody be Muslim. So I get on the bus, and our guide was named Jihad. And I thought, how could I be so lucky to have a guide by the name of Jihad? Man. But I want to tell you something. This guy was probably about 21 to 23 years old, would be my best guess. One of the sharpest looking guys you've ever seen in your life. He didn't dress out, but he was very, very neat, well-dressed, hair cut, nice. I mean, tell you what, good looking guy. And just as pleasant as you could imagine. And just as optimistic and just entertaining. Oh, he was just a nice guy. And I'm going, well, maybe I need to redefine jihad here for a little bit. I assumed he was a Muslim. So we're going down the road quite a ways there and going down through the desert. And, you know, I'm sitting there and he's standing there and his hand on the thing. I said, jihad, so I'm thinking the Lord's prompting me to talk to him about Christ. Okay, oh boy, I'm going to talk to a Muslim about Christ, you know. So I thought, boy, I'm sitting on it for several miles. I sat on and thought, how am I going to do this? So anyway, so I said, jihad, I guess you're a Muslim. No, I'm not a Muslim. I said, you're not a Muslim? No. He said, I'm a Christian. I said, you got to be kidding me. Boy, that's how stupid you can be, amen? I mean, that's how things are not like you think. But then all of a sudden it dawned on me what kind of Christian he was. Is it Greek Orthodox? And I could just tell, it's just something like the Lord said, Reggie, move on, go around that wall, you know. So I said, jihad, that's great. I said, I'm glad to hear that. I just figured you're just a Muslim. No, he said, I'm not a Muslim at all. I said, I'm a Christian. I said, well, jihad is a Christian. Do you expect to go to heaven? He said, why, sure, I expect to go to heaven. I said, well, upon what basis do you expect to go to heaven? He said, because I keep the commandments. And I just about did a backflip. I said, you what? He said, I keep the commandments. And he got a very serious look in his face. And I said, you're telling me that you expect to go to heaven because you keep all the Ten Commandments? He said, exactly. I said, are you telling me that you do not break the commandments? That's right. I don't break the commandments. I keep every one of them. And I'm sitting there going, I have never heard this before in my life except a woman out in Oklahoma who told me she had never sinned in her life, and if God sent her to hell, he'd be a mean God. I wish I'd have known then what I know now, knew then. But anyway, so I'm sitting there and going, so okay, I've got a guy here who's a Greek Orthodox who believes he's going to heaven because he keeps all the commandments, and he's lying out his teeth. God, what do I do with him? So we go a few more miles. I said, jihad, I said, you've really got me thinking. I said, you say you keep all the commandments. He said, that's exactly right. And he wasn't joking, but he wasn't proud, cocky, just very serious. I said, well, would you care if we went down through the commandments? He said, no, I don't care. And, of course, I'm sitting there. I don't have my Bible with me, and I'm trying to think of the Ten Commandments. How many tried to think of the Ten Commandments? And so I start thinking, well, have you ever stole? I have never stolen my life, he said. Never. I said, you've never stole a pencil. You've never stole praise. You've never stole somebody else's, you know. He said, I have never stole. I said, well, the Bible said, thou shalt not bear false witness. Have you ever lied to anybody? I've never lied in my life to anybody. And I'm going, this is the biggest liar I've ever met in my life. And I mean, you know, he just keeps going. And so I'm bouncing around. Well, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. I said, you love God with all your heart. Love God with all my heart. I said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love my neighbor as myself. And that's not even the Ten Commandments. Those are the two before the Ten Commandments. I was trying to reach. I mean, I was reaching, amen. But anyway, keep going down through there. I said, well, you've never lusted after a woman. You've never committed adultery. You never looked on a woman with lust. Never have. I'm going, And he's just, I'm telling you what, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. He just, and as far as I know, I went through every commandment that I could think of, and he just kept saying, never have. Nope, never have. Never done that. And so I'm sitting there, and about 5 minutes later, it dawns on me. You forgot the one about honor your father and your mother. So I said, hey, jihad, the Bible says honor thy father and mother. Have you ever broke that one? And this is an honest to God truth, and I'm not exaggerating a bit. He goes, and he's hanging on to that post, that stainless steel post right here. His head just drops, and he just wouldn't look up. And finally I said, jihad, what's wrong? He said, I broke that commandment. I said, Jihad, isn't the real truth is the things that you, how you, you dishonored your father and mother, right? Yeah. Isn't the real truth that you broke some of the other commandments and that's what dishonored your father and your mother? And he goes, yeah. I said, Jihad, you told me by your own mouth that you expect to go to heaven by keeping the commandments. And by your own admission, you have broke them. And the Bible says in James 2:10 that if you broke one, you're guilty of all. I said, the chain is busted, Jihad, you're gone. I said, could I tell you why Jesus Christ died on the cross? And at that point, I was able to give him the gospel. Now, he didn't get saved then. I hope that he did someday, but I sure had a good opportunity to tell him why he needed a substitute and a savior and why Jesus died as the Lamb of God in his place. And if you're listening to me today and you're out there thinking, well, I'm trying to live a good life and go to heaven, you're not going to make it because you're not good enough. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want to point you to the Lamb of God, too, that takes away the sin of the world. And that you keeping the law or being a good kid or being a good dad or a good mama will not save you, right? You need Jesus Christ. And if you've not been born again of the Spirit of God, you're not saved. And I pray today that you'll do that. But I say that in saying this, is that the law will not keep you, but the law is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. Now, when you get, don't turn there, but when you get into Matthew chapter, get into New Testament, Jesus Christ is in his ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, he dealt with something, and many several other places in the New Testament deal with something very serious, and I didn't pick this up until I started studying this yesterday, that he was dealing with these Pharisees, and especially these young Pharisees and Sadducees guys, and he would bring up this subject, and here's what it was. He would say that the law said to honor thy father and thy mother, but you say if it's korban, or I've dedicated it to the temple, then I don't have to take care of them. But here's something I never caught before in the Bible. Almost every time Jesus repeated that Old Testament commandment, he would say, cursed is the one that, whoso curseth his father and mother, let him die the death. Well, I said, where Jesus, why, watch this now. Why is Jesus connecting Exodus 20 to Exodus 21? Where Exodus 20 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may go well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. And then Exodus 21 says, cursed is he that whosoever cursed his father and mother, lay him die to death. You know what Jesus did? In the New Testament, Jesus connected those two commandments. You know what he's saying? He is saying this commandment is so serious that if you don't honor your father and your mother, you are in essence cursing your father and your mother, and you're worthy of death. That gets pretty tough. And here's what he was telling. Here's what was going on. There were these young religious people and these young men, and they had accumulated some wealth, okay? And they might be middle-aged. They might even be up in their 60s. And they were supposed to take care of their mom and dad, honor their father and their mother. And they weren't doing it. And here's how they were getting around it. They were taking their wealth, maybe a farm, maybe cash, maybe gold, maybe silver, and they were, quote, korbaning it, dedicating it to the cause of God, the temple. And because of that, they couldn't use that money to help their own mom and dad. It was a way, a religious, self-righteous way of violating the fifth commandment, not taking care of their elderly mother and father. And you know what Jesus said? He said, you are cursing your mom and dad, you're violating that commandment, and you're worthy of death. Now, there's a reason, but I got to think of why was Jesus so, I mean, that's pretty intense. We don't take it that seriously. But there's reasons for that. Jesus repeatedly affirmed and connected Exodus 20, 13 to Exodus 21, 16. And he said, if you curse your mother and father, you're worthy of death. Now, I want to give you something. There's a devil who the Bible said is out to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, you don't reckon, now, Brother Sutton, hang on your seat. You're sitting here handy. I'm going to be kind and everything. But I'm going to tell you what's going to go on right here while the next few years are happening. Now, listen to me tight, and every family get this. Satan, watch this, is in the process right now in your family of orchestrating your children to have a justification to dishonor their father and their mother so he can destroy your children. Now listen to me tight. God showed me something in the Bible this week that blew me out of my chair. Satan knows the Word of God. He knows how Jesus Christ connects honoring your father and your mother with cursing your father and your mother and sentencing yourself to destruction. So what Satan's going to do and does is he comes in, and Evie, if you're not careful, Satan will feed you full of nonsense and lies and cause you to see in your mother or dad some inconsistency, some sin, something wrong, something they don't do right, or something that, and it may be because they don't let you do this, or but you feel this, whatever. But then he'll start telling you that you, watch everybody this right now, you are justified to dishonor them. It's okay, because they're not doing right. Everybody listen to me. Here's how he operates. He will show your children, Satan will show your children how you're not doing right. Some area or multiple areas of your life that you're not doing right in. And then he will tell that child that because you're not doing right and because of the parent's failure, you have a legitimate right to dishonor your father and your mother. Now, he won't come out and tell you that. He'll tell you that in a backdoor manner. What he has done is ensured your destruction at that point. Satan knows that God is holy. He doesn't lie to anybody. He's not joking about it when he tells you something. He means what he says. So if he can get you to violate that word of God and bring that curse upon yourself through a lie, he's destroyed you. He'll orchestrate the child's destruction, the son or daughter's destruction. Satan does this, as I said, by making it very difficult. Now listen to me. I'd like a few young people to listen to me today. This is Mother's Day. All of us. I'll just tell you, God's dealt with me about it. He makes it very difficult sometimes and hard for children, a son or a daughter, to honor their parents. It may be by hypocrisy in the parent. He's one thing at church, he's another thing at home. She's one thing at, mama's one thing at church, mama's another person at home. He may do it by, as in this boy's case, his dad being a drunk. This boy could have gotten very bitter at his dad. He could have said he's a drunk, he doesn't take care of the family, he doesn't provide, mama's out sowing for people to feed us. And that boy could have had justified in his head to dishonor my dad. Are you listening? I'm telling you something. I want to say, God's word will save your life today if you let this. There are people in this, I mean, I'm telling you, but reason because all of this is, we're all susceptible to this thing. We can all get trapped in this thing. Sometimes it's just simply favoritism among children. Well, they treat this one better than they treated me. Did you know a child can get bitter as a, I mean, so fast make your head swim when they perceive favoritism in parents. And by the way, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to be honest with you today. When parents start off with the first child, you know, they're just trying to make a living, pay off the hospital bill, blah, 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 you know, and they're going to be a parent by the time they've had the 11th or 12th, and it's just a no big deal. It's going to happen somehow or another. And they're usually, to be honest about it, aren't you a little rougher on the first ones than you are the sixth one or the seventh one or the eighth one, right? Now nobody's going to admit it. Okay, all right. Or it could be pride. Pride in a parent. It could be, what's this? It could be the feeling that a parent wants to control me. Either with money or whatever way it may be, you know, and not letting me be the person that God made me to be. Parental, you know, yeah, we're supposed to raise our children and nurture and admonition, Lord, but can I tell you something? Control is, worldly and satanic control is a whole nother thing. And if a child does not do right by his heart, all the controls in the world is not going to make the difference. There comes a time, okay? It could be the inconsistency. It could be how mama treats daddy. Let me tell you something. I know of cases I've had to deal with where children were bitter at their mother by the disrespect the mother showed the father. Mamas, I love you, but I'm telling you, you want to raise a bitter child, you just show disrespect and caustic and talking back and all that junk to your to the child's daddy, and the daddy's kind of, you know, just sits there and takes it. If you're not careful, Satan will come in and say, you don't need to respect your mama. She isn't submissive to her husband. She's been nothing but a bear cat to daddy all his life, and he sat there and took it. Or it could be daddy treating mama terrible. Physical abuse, verbal abuse, all kinds of garbage. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you want to get bitter, just let daddy treat mama wrong. And the devil will tell that child, you don't need to respect your daddy. Look how he treats your mama. He hasn't earned your respect or your honor. Unkindness, lack of gentleness, anger. Anger will absolutely give Satan an inroad to tell you you don't have to honor your father and your mother. Immorality will do the same thing. Bitterness and unforgiveness will do that. Let me give you a biblical example. David in the Old Testament, you know this. He committed immorality. He orchestrated the murder of Uriah. David had anger in his heart. That's revealed when Nathan comes to him and talks to him. Further than that, he failed to deal with the failures of his own children. When Amnon raped Tamar, he didn't do a thing about it, as far as we know. And that caused bitterness in Absalom. So here's what happened to Absalom. You know what really happened to Absalom? Exactly what I'm preaching about this morning. Satan got Absalom to thinking he don't need to honor your daddy because your daddy has failed. And so here's what happened. Satan came in to Absalom and said, you don't need to dishonor your dad. Look what he did. Committed immorality. Murdered a man. Doesn't take care of his own family. Blah, blah, blah. And pretty soon he just had his head. You don't owe him any respect. You don't owe him any honor. Look who he is. He's the king, and look what he did. And so he moves from dishonoring his daddy to the point of where he's despised his daddy. That's where dishonor moves to despisement, and then it moved to destroy daddy. And that's exactly the process that Absalom took. So he moves from dishonor to despisement to destruction. So now he's going to run his daddy off the throne, and he does that. Runs him out of Jerusalem. But you know, here's what's wild. Now watch this. Now, listen to me today. I don't care whether you're 65 or 75 or 5 years old. This is a principle of life. He was dishonoring his father and felt justified in doing it by Satan's lies. He said, I can disobey the word of God and get by with it because of who my daddy is. This is dangerous. Here's where he got. Now watch this. So he moves on down the road. David's run out of the city. Absalom says, somebody said something. He said, take David's concubines, put them up on the roof and go in there too. And then he says, what are we going to do to David? We're going to go after him, we're going to slay him. Guess what? Absalom is doing the exact same thing his daddy did. He's committing immorality and he wants to kill his own dad. That's a biblical principle. If you get bitter and you start dishonoring your father and mother over things you don't like in them, you'll start doing the very same things your mom and dad did. Whichever one it was you didn't like, whatever it was you felt justified you by dishonoring your father and your mother, you'll start doing the very same things the parent did that you don't like, that you felt like you had a reason to dishonor them for. And so it didn't end well for this young man. He wound up hanging by his hair from an oak with 3 darts through his chest, buried in a pit with rocks on top of him. Can I tell you something, whether it's me or you, if we dishonor our parents, God will orchestrate our failure and our destruction. I don't care what your daddy was or wasn't. I don't care what your mama was or wasn't. God did not say honor your father and your mother if you like the way they live, if you like what they've done. He said honor them. Dishonoring our parents turns into what God calls cursing our parents. When we dishonor our parents, we are cursing them in a form. And we're going to bring God's judgment upon ourselves. When we dishonor our parents, now listen to me, you say, Reggie, why is God so serious about this? Because we are attacking the institution of the family. We are attacking the institution, God-ordained institution of father, husband, male, female, mama, and daddy. And God is the one who put that thing together. And God says that when I attempt to dishonor my father, my mother, I am attacking the primary institution of authority that God established in this world, and it's dangerous. Thirdly, when I dishonor my father and my mother, I am rebelling against that God-ordained authority. And fourthly, I am entering into the realm of witchcraft, because for me to do that is to rebel against the commandments of God. And when I enter into rebellion, I'm into witchcraft, which is satanic activity, means I'm coming under the control and the influence of Satan himself. So I'm telling you, I'm giving you a whole list here of the ramifications of dishonoring your father and your mother. Fifthly, it gives an occasion to blaspheme the name and the cause of Christ, his church, and the cause of Christ. If there's anything this world likes to see you do, a Christian person is dishonor their father and their mother. They know that's built into Christianity. And they know that there is a tremendous failure at that point. Sixthly, if we dishonor our parents, we influence others to do terrible evil. And seventhly, we sin against the love of God, because God loves your parents. And God wants you to love your parents. He wants me to love my parents. What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? It means to give weight to them in a sense of reverence. It means to promote them, to lift them up, to even glorify them in the sense of human glorification, to glorify your parents. Honor means that you prize your father and your mother. It means that you highly value your father and your mother. It means that you highly esteem them. You consider them to be very precious. To honor your father and your mother means that you consider them very dear, to be highly respected from you, and to place great worth upon your father and your mother. How many here today would say your mother is worth a lot to you? There's no way to place it, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're sitting in this church house today, you could have had a mother that murdered you in the womb. You could have had a mother that didn't want you. You could have had a mother that didn't raise you to know Jesus Christ. You could have had a lot of things. And if you're sitting in this church house today and you think life's rough, but you got a mother that loves God, taught you about Jesus, showed you the way of Christ, you got a treasure. God says you're to honor. But even if you don't, God says you still honor that parent. It's to highly venerate, to reverence, to have a high and exalted thought of and action toward. Now I'm going to bring this down to a practical level. Are we honoring our father and our mother? Are you honoring your father and your mother in your faith? You say, Reggie, what do you mean by that? Are your parents Christians? You say, well, yeah, they claim to be. Have you honored your father and your mother in the... Now, if your father and mother are lost, or they're not saved and do not know the Lord, even though they may be religious, you still need to honor them. Okay, you still need to honor them. Even though they may not be saved, they may not be a Christian, they may not know the truth, but you still need to honor them. But if you're here today and your mom and dad is saved, are you listening to me? And they're really and honestly trying to teach you the ways of God, are you honoring them by following them in faith in Jesus Christ? Are you following them in the faith? Did you know when I used to bird hunt a little bit when I was young in high school? And back at that time, quail hunting in this country was big. And they would have your dogs. And one dog would go out and he would maybe hit a covey or a single. And if there's another dog with him, that other dog might be 30 or 40 or 50 feet. But when he saw that dog go down, he immediately froze. And they used to call that honor. And here was why they did. This second dog never smelled the bird, never knew anything about it. Only he saw that other dog say, I have found one. And so watch it. This dog was saying, I'm not going to run in and flush that bird up and ruin the whole deal. I'm going to honor what you're doing. This is what you, as a child, what God wants you to do. Are you listening to me? You may not know everything you like to know about why this and why that and why everything, but you see your mom and dad pointing toward Christ, you need to honor that, even if you don't understand what they're doing. If a bird dog can do it by faith, we ought to be able to do it. Because can I tell you something? You're never going to understand everything, why your mom and dad did this and why they did this and why they didn't do this. You're not going to always understand that. But you can honor them, okay? Do you honor them in the Bible? Are you following them in their faith? Let me ask you another question. I'm just going to shell it out here. Are you honoring your father and your mother in your commitment to the church? I'm just going to be honest with you. Is your mom and dad going to sacrifice and spend 20 years raising you and trying to do right by you and give you the truth and give you the knowledge of Christ and do their very best in the midst of all their failures? They're going to 20 years do that training and raise you in the nurture and admonition, Lord, and then you're just going to pop up after you get out of home and say, I don't want anything more to do with it. Can I tell you something? You may do that, and a lot of young people are, but you're going to bring a curse on yourself because you are dishonoring your father and your mother. I just realized how much this needs to be preached on. It's not being preached on. It's just not. And I'm telling you something. I love you. I want every child that grows up in this church to be blessed, to have a wonderful life, to life go well with you, live a long life. But you can't do it if you're going to dishonor your mom and daddy. How about your friends and company you keep? Who are you hanging around? Is that honoring your father and your mother? You know, when I was younger, I was around some places I shouldn't have been. I didn't want my mom and dad to know where I was at. But you know what the crazy thing about it? I look back on it now and I think how stupid I was and what a joke I was to those people I was with because they knew it. I'm going to tell you something. You know what? That's really what busted me out of my lost life. One of the things God used was that I wanted to be a man. I wanted to be what I call a true man who wasn't controlled by the world's people. Because that was easily happened to me. And I wanted the strength. The only place I ever found that strength was in Christ to bust loose from what I worried about, what my friends thought about me. And that's a glorious liberty that God gives you. But the people that you're hanging around, your friends, the people that you're keeping company with, is it bringing honor to your father and your mother or does it bring dishonor to them? Let me go further and say this. Your appearance, is it bringing honor to the Lord? Is it bringing honor to your father and your mother? I'm going to be honest with you. I look back and people say what they want to, but I look back at it now and I am so ashamed. And I don't know. You know, my dad was a very wise man and I'll just tell you the truth. You know, he's gone on to be with the Lord right now, but I want to honor him. I don't want to do something stupid that would dishonor my father, even though he's gone. But I think about Brother Phil, how he wouldn't let us grow our hair long when we was home. He literally told me one day, he said, I don't care if every one of your buddies has hair down to his backside. You're not. As long as you're eating under my table and you're sleeping in my bed and our house, and your hair is going to be cut like I say it's going to be cut. And I thought my dad was terrible. I thought I was really, really hurt because I grew up in a home like that. That's how stupid I was. But after I got out, what did everyone, I don't think Van did, I don't know whether Van did or not. Everyone, what did we do? And I thought about, you know what I thought about the last few years, Phil? Is what a dishonor that was my daddy. Every time I walk in the house, it's like, eat it. I ain't honoring you. And I believe that's why some of the trouble in my life have come, just little simple things like that, where I did not honor my father and my mother. How about how we dress, the clothes that we wear? Is it honoring your father and your mother? Is it like they raised you? The jewelry, the makeup. We raised to honor God in these things, but bless God, I'm grown up now. I don't have to. What about the activities and the entertainments, the places you go and the things that you do? How about the habits and the conduct? I'll never forget one night I was a place I shouldn't have been. Isn't it funny how everybody knows if you're, but anyway, this preacher's boy was there. And he was getting drunk. Somebody said something to him, and he said, you know why I drink? He said, you know why I drink? Somebody said, no, he said, so my daddy will have something to preach on Sunday morning. His dad was a pastor up here at Mountain Grove. Are you honoring your father and your mother in obedience, doing what they ask you to do? And then further, are you honoring them in the attitude in which you do it? You know, obedience is one thing, but attitude and obedience is a whole other thing. What about the conduct and the things that you're doing? In 1969, I had a Camaro. And it was a nice car. Shouldn't have had it. Stupidest thing they ever did, actually. Traded 13 Holstein heifers for that car. Didn't owe no money on it. But I traded appreciable items off for a depreciable item. The last time that car sold, now, if I would have kept the car and kept it in good shape, it actually would be worth about $80,000 today, okay? But I traded those heifers off, and that's gone. They would have reproduced, and I'd have had more with the car depreciated. But, oh, I had a car. I'd go around, and I was cool. My dad, in 1969, was running for House of Representatives in the district that composed Douglas and Ozark and Wright County. Douglas, Ozark, and Taney County, which is Branson, Forsyth, all that, Gainesville, right on up to Douglas County, Ava. He sent me down there oftentimes to campaign, and I had this car. He would load me up with the cars and stuff, and I campaigned, my brother's campaign stuff. But anyway, one evening after done campaigning, I decided I wanted to go scatter around town a little bit. You know, I was kind of looking for some girls somewhere. And a car, you know, you're hoping they look at the car and don't see how ugly you are, and all balances out, amen? But anyway, I looked in my rearview mirror, and I saw something I didn't like to see. Anybody know what it was? Lights. Now, you listen to me. This cop pulled me over, policeman pulled me over for speeding, and I'm in this car. So he says, need to see your license. I pulled the license out, and I'm down in Forsyth area. Nobody knows me down here. You know, I can act like a dog. I give him my license. He stands over and says, hang on just a minute. He's looking at him. He looks up and he says, you're from Norwood? Yeah. Your last name's Kelly? I said, yeah. He said, you ain't relation to Garnet Kelly? Yeah. How you related to him? He's my dad. They'll never forget this. He walked back over and he handed me my license. He said, you need to hear something. He said, your dad's running for state representative. And he said, all of us policemen down here are for him and we want to see him win this race. And can I tell you something, young man? You're not doing your dad any good. I'm going to let you go. You get your hind end home. If you ever come back and down this again, he said, I'll throw you straight in jail. Do you know what true honor springs out of? You know what my real problem was? I loved me, not my daddy. I didn't care how my life affected my daddy. Dishonoring your parents. The boys have a jail ministry over there. I never walk in that jailhouse, Terry, but what I see somebody that I know whose grandpa it was. The last time I was with you boys over there, there's a boy sat over there, and I'm not going to mention his name, but he got up and come over there and started talking to me, and he was in jail over drugs. And I knew his grandpa was one of the greatest men in Douglas County. I'm talking about him and his grandma, godly people. And he said to me, Terry, he said, Reggie, when I get out, he said, I'm coming to church over there. I don't promise you I'll be at church. You know, the next thing I heard about him, he's killed in a drug deal. Gone into eternity. And I thought to myself, I wonder what his grandpa would feel like today. You go out and steal, get drunk, piddle with all that stuff. How'd you like to get a phone call from some child or grandchild? Grandpa just wants you to know I've become a queer. You're talking about dishonoring your father and your mother. And I'm going to tell you something. You think you're so slick you're going to get in front of God about it, you're crazy and a bed bug. You're going to bring a curse. Satan is orchestrating your destruction. Our immorality. My mama's sitting down at 91 years old today. My dad's gone to glory, but what if my brother Van had to go down and set my mom down good and say, Mama, I want you to listen to me. Reggie's run off with another woman. He's quit on God. You know, I can just about tell you that my mama would never want to go get her hair fixed anywhere again. She don't go anywhere else. It brings such dishonor to her. When you think you're going to pull your stunt, it's not going to affect anybody. I'm telling you, God says, honor your father and your mother. Proverbs 13:17 gives it so succinctly what happens. He said, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. This is God's judgment on those who dishonor their parents. But even our motives for honoring our parents have to be examined in the light of God's truth. You have to ask yourself, why am I honoring them? So they'll like me? So I can get inheritance? So I can get favoritism from my mom and dad? Why am I honoring my mom and dad? So I can be their favorite kid? So I look good? God wants to check our motives. Why do we honor our father and our mother? And it better be because we love them and that we love God. And if our motives are not right, even fear and shame is not a proper motive to honor our father and our mother. If we're not, God will expose that false motive. Now, let me say something to you. Our parents, your parents, may not deserve our respect. Probably most parents don't deserve respect and honor from their children. But God never based it upon that. God says honor them. Not always easy to honor your father and your mother, but God says to any way, and if you can have faith, and here's the catch, here's the linchpin in the message. It takes faith to honor your father and your mother when it's hard to. You do it anyway because God said to. I don't care what my dad is. I don't care if he's a hypocrite preacher. I don't care if he's an angry snapping turtle. I don't care if he's a lying, stealing, hideous idiot. I don't care if he's a drunk. I'm going to honor my daddy. I'm going to honor my mama. It has to be done by faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. And I want to challenge everybody in this church right now. I don't care how old or how young you are. By faith, honor your father and your mother. Doesn't mean you go along with everything. It doesn't mean you agree with everything they said or did or that you approve of it. You just, that's my daddy. That's my mama. I'm going to love them. I'm going to honor them before the Lord. God will bless you if you do that. A good quick question to test the rightness of any deed, conduct, action, or words is this. Number one, if I do this, will it bring honor or dishonor to my father and my mother? I wish I'd have asked myself that question a few times. Will this bring honor to my father and my mother, or will it dishonor them? Now, I'm going to put this to a greater lift, and here we go. Watch out. Now, the hydraulics is going up. There is a greater lift to this whole thing. In the Bible, to the saved person, God is our Heavenly Father. The church, whether you understand or believe this or not, is a type of a mother. That's why people are born through the deal of the church, the seed planted out, okay? The type of the church in the Bible is a mother. So you have God the Father, the church is a mother. Now, here's the question. Will this conduct, this activity, this deed, this action, this word, this attitude, this dress, will it bring honor or dishonor to my Heavenly Father? Here of late, I've often thought about how Satan must love to run to God, the Father, and say, as accuser of the brethren, say, look what Reggie Kelly did. Look what he's thinking. Look what his attitude is today. Look what he did. And God, and it be the truth. And the dishonor I brought to my Heavenly Father. To the church of God. I'm going to ask you a question today. Are you ashamed of your parents? Are you ashamed of your faith? Are you ashamed of the place of worship you go to? Now, I'm going to say something today, and I'm going to be kind about it. But it's meant a lot to me because it tells me a lot. It doesn't tell me everything about everybody, but it tells me a lot. This church school has been here for 35 years, 30, something like that, okay? And we always, you know, a lot of kids in school, a lot of kids homeschool. In the recent years, in the last 10 to 15 years, you've got, you know, the internet and Facebook comes up. Did you know I know of one young woman who is not afraid to put on her Facebook page where she went to school at? To school. Very seldom will you see a young person put on their Facebook page that they were homeschooled. Now, I'm not, it may be that you just don't care and it's not an issue and you don't, we wouldn't put it on there if you got up and graduated from Harvard. But I can tell you there's a lot to it because most kids do. They'll tell you where they went to school at, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to tell you a little something. There's a shame connected. There's some reproach connected to being from this church. And that's good because the Bible said none durst join themselves to them. The church better stand for something, amen? It better stand for something. It better be bringing you some reproach out there. It ain't going by this book. This world is never going to love God's people, never going to love God's ways. But I'm going to tell you this. If you want to, what the deal is, are you honoring your parents, how they raised you? Just think about it. Will it bring honor to your Heavenly Father? Will it bring honor to the mother, the church? Or are you ashamed of your parents, the church, your education, your faith, or Christ? You say, well, I'm just going to do my own thing. Well, you never did and you never will. And you can say, well, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It does matter to God. We will reap what we sow. But probably this, and I don't want this to get down. I want this to be an uplifting message. He wants you to go out of here and say, you know what? That's God's word. I like that. I'm going to do that because God said it. But probably the worst tragedy of a life that is lived in dishonor to the parents is that you'll never know what could or might have been, what you missed out on, the amazing eternal blessings of God because you didn't honor your father and your mother. That's the tragedy. We're not able to see that, what we missed because we dishonored our parents, or what we would not have had to endure or suffer because we did not honor our parents. Now, I begin the message today by telling you the true story of a young man who made an important decision to honor his father, even though his father was a drunk. His father was not what he ought to have been to him or to his mother. His father would go on 3-day binges. As growing up, he said, I got to where I did not want Christmas to come because he said every Christmas I knew my father would go on a wild binge and Christmas was not going to wind up well. He said there were arguments and separation and slammed doors in our home. But instead of becoming bitter and reacting with dishonor, he honored his father and particularly his mother because his mother said to him, no matter what your daddy is or does, honor him. And he did. She had the wisdom from the Word of God. And I'm telling you, if we want wisdom today, if you came to church do you any good today, take this home with you. Leave out of that door and say, irregardless of who my parents are, I'm going to honor them. I do not want to miss the blessings of God in my life. I don't want the curse of God upon my life. That boy, because his mother, this is Mother's Day, his mother had the biblical wisdom to teach him. Don't, and by the way, she taught him not just by precept, but by example. And she would tell him, he would ask her, do you hate daddy? Are you bitter at daddy? No, I'm not. He's my husband. No, he's not everything I would have wanted in a husband. But he's my husband, and I'm to obey him and to honor him as my husband. I'm to respect him and to reverence him as my husband. And you know what she did? She taught that boy to do that by example, not just saying the Bible says so. And that boy went on to experience the blessings of a life lived in honor of his parents. Oh, everything didn't always go right with him. He got married, and in 1947, they were expecting a baby, and it was born, and it died soon afterward. They lost their first baby. His wife got so despaired by it, in 1948, she divorced him. So he had lost an infant baby. His wife divorced him in 1948. He was later threatened with death and to have acid thrown in his face for standing against communists in the California labor unions. His father, that he was a drunk, was a Catholic. His mother was just a Christian. But he followed the faith of his mother. They called him Dutch, but he was Irish. His ancestors came over in the potato famine. His parents were poor. And when he made some money in California, he bought them a home and moved them to California from the state of Illinois. He honored his father and his mother, even though his dad was drunk when he grew up. Oh, he eventually became the governor of California twice and was twice elected as president of the United States. You know him as Ronald Reagan. A young man who really believed that no matter what your daddy was or wasn't, no matter what your mother was or wasn't, that God said to honor them, so I'm going to honor them. And you tell me, did God bless him? He is the most, today, in American poll, he's the most beloved president in this generation today. He's considered to be the greatest president that America had in the 19th century. Yes, he got Alzheimer's, but even in Alzheimer's, he was gracious. And let me tell you this morning, you may say, well, he was a nice-looking guy. He was a great communicator. He was blah, 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 blah. All the chips fell right for him. No, let me tell you what he did that made the difference. As an 11-year-old boy, I'm not going to hate my dad because he doesn't provide for us, because he doesn't treat my mama right, because he goes on binges and slams doors and breaks windows and leaves and doesn't show up. Let me tell you about another young man, a young man who never dishonored his father nor his mother. At 12 years of age, he said he would be subject to his parents. At 30 years of age, he was about his father's business. In John chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible said, no man, watch this, no man hath seen God. This man said this, no man hath seen God, the Son hath declared him. You know what Jesus said? You can't see the Father, but if you look at me, I am honoring the Father in such a way that you'll be able to see him if you see me. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about honor. This wasn't until I got here that I found out why that commandment is with promise and why this commandment is so important. It's because God wants you and I as Christian people to honor the Father in such a way that people can see the Father through our lives. It is through honor that people see God through us. And Jesus said, people cannot see God the Father except they look at me. Watch what he said. I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. John 8:29 says, Jesus, but concerning the Father, I do always those things that please him. John 8:49, I honor my Father. John 10:38, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Now watch this. Jesus so honored his Father that he said this to this lost world. If you can show me that I am not honoring my Father, then don't believe in me. But he said, if I can show you that I'm honoring my Father, then believe in me. This principle of honoring our Father is so powerful, it determines whether people will see God through us or not. And the only way you and I can see God the Father is through Jesus Christ, his Son. It's that powerful of concept. Jesus said in John 12:49, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment that I should say and what I should speak. John 12:50 said, whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so speak I. He was honoring his Father. John 14:28, my Father is greater than I. John 14:31, another, as the Father giveth me command, even so I do. Jesus Christ honored his Father. He was not ashamed of his Father, and he honored him. A vital truth that if Jesus Christ had not honored his Father in allowing himself to be sent into this world as the Savior, to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to die on that cross, to shed his blood, to send back and come in again, you and I could not be saved had not Christ honored his Father. And that's the power of this principle in the Bible. Honor is critical. I'd like to close the day by saying this to us. We need to commit to honoring our mothers and our fathers. That'll keep a lot of things in life straightened out for you. If you say, you know what, I'm going to leave out of here tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, I'm going to honor my father and mother. That'll keep a lot of stuff straightened out in your life. What we need to do is allow it to be a guiding force and a power in our life, motivated by love, in faith and obedience to God, regardless of what your parents are. Commit this morning to honor your father and your mother and to honor your heavenly father. And it means that, this, that by faith in God's word, I'm going to honor them. I will not be involved in people, activity, entertainments that would dishonor my parents. I will be motivated by love and not by law. And my appearance, my dress, will honor my parents and God. My business, my financial dealings will honor my parents and God. My home, my family will honor my parents and God. Let's stand. Father, we thank you today for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. I pray, God, today that we would leave this building with an attitude and a heart to obey the fifth commandment by the grace of God, that, Lord, we would honor our fathers and our mothers. Lord, I know today that every mother in this building just simply wants to be honored. They don't need, Lord, a lot of things, a lot of gifts, a lot of stuff. They just need honor. So, Lord, I pray today that this be a blessed day. Bless these families as they fellowship together. And Lord, may we be reminded of this great, important truth of the Word of God, to let it guide our lives, our conduct, our attitude, to guide the very person that we are. Will this honor my father and my mother? Will this honor my heavenly Father? Will this honor the church of Jesus Christ? And Lord, I want to tell you I love you today and thank you so much for the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Thank you for being here. I finally got done. Love you. See you tonight.